Switched on FM 104, and I'm joined by Jonathan Byrne from News. Hello.
Hi, Louise. Thanks very much for having me. What a year we've had in News. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, great to chat.
So we want to take a little look back. Like, it is kind of hard to remember everything that has happened in 2023, but there has been some big stories that have happened, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I've kind of done out a list. I love making lists for anyone that knows me. So this has kind of got my list juices flowing,
Excellent.
If you could say. I guess to touch on kind of first of all, Louise, like, you know, there's positives and negatives when it comes to the news. For every good news story, there's a bad news story. And I guess to kind of reel over some of the positives before I get into kind of what happened, the big news month by month. It was a great year for Irish sport. Yeah, it's obviously the Irish women's soccer team make the World Cup. The rugby team obviously win the Six Nations and their Rugby World Cup run. Obviously, Katie Taylor and Reese McLenahan recently winning a World Gymnastics medal. So that was great. I think it was a great year for cinema and film. Mm-hmm. I think you only have to point to, you know, the Golden Globe nominations recently for Irish actors and the kind of Barbenheimer hype over the summer, which was great. And the cost of living is coming down, which is good news.
That's really good news.
Nice. That was a big story at the start of the year, so that's easing. On the negative standpoint, and just to reel through it quickly, it's worth noting that, you know, we've record people in emergency accommodation who are homeless, which is really disappointing. We had some really tragic road deaths. A lot of young people lost their lives this year. And, of course, record numbers of people on emergency hospital beds who are without a bed in hospitals. So, look, I think that was worth noting kind of to start. And we can get in month by month and have a look at what happened.
Yeah, because I suppose there's always going to be things when you come out of a new year that are that still need to be dealt with and still need to be sorted out and looked into. But I suppose if we know what we need to aim for, then maybe in 2024 we'll see some of these getting better.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because I think a lot of these stories are developing. I think there's, you know, improvements to be made everywhere, obviously, but a lot of these, I think, can come to the fore when it comes to 2024. But, you know what, I'll start off with January with a bit of a lighter one, or at least not so light for the employees involved, and it's obviously unfortunate they lost their jobs, but just given the time of year we're at now, in January, Argos announced the closure of 34 stores, and they officially closed in June. There was 580 jobs lost, which was obviously very unfortunate, but, you know, I think a lot of people will feel quite nostalgic about Argos when it comes to this time of year, the big catalogue. It's weird to think that it's in the ether of kind of Super Quinn and maybe even Extravision to a certain extent where, you know, in years to come, we'll think back to the concept of an Argos store and not necessarily have it exist.
Well, this is the thing, but also going back to the catalogue, like that would have been part of my Santa list story for sure.
Yeah.
And you'd go through and you'd mark everything that you were going to ask for.
Well, that's it. And people would watch the toy show. They'd have the catalogue and the highlighter out or whatever else. So, look, that was an unfortunate news story in January. But, you know, a lot of people have good memories of the catalogue and the stores and that type of thing. In February then, Louise, there was severe disruption at Dublin Airport. I think 3 days of flights in the same week. There had to be diversions due to drone activity at the airport. Now, it was always illegal to fly drones within 5 kilometres of the airport, but I think it was a case of the DAA and the Irish Aviation Authority kind of being granted more powers and a bit more kind of urgency in relation to it. I think there were 6 incidents in total where flights had to be grounded or were affected. So, that was one that happened in February. March then, you'll remember Joe Biden, US president, announced his visit, and obviously he came to visit the following month. He was there in County Louth in Carlingford. He came to Dublin, and then his day 3 was kind of a homecoming in Ballina. Do you remember watching that? That was a bit of a bizarre event because obviously it was a great occasion, and he has a lot of Irish roots in Ballina and the County of Mayo and stuff like that. But I just remember distinctly his kind of walk out onto the stage, almost like he was at Alexandra Palace about to take to the darts or at WrestleMania or something. It was a huge spectacle. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I particularly liked when he met the president's dogs. that was quite a moment, because I think one of them in particular ignored him, maybe, if I remember correctly, which was very amusing, I have to say. It's like, do you not know who you're chatting to? You know?
I feel like that would make the year in memes, which would be an entirely different list, but it's interesting to see there's a bit of crossover anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Then we go to April, Louise, and it was a really landmark decision made in a case that kind of dominated headlines in 2022. That was, of course, Jerry Hutch. Mm-hmm. He was found not guilty of the murder of David Byrne at the Regency Hotel, a very famous event and kind of tragic event where people lost their lives. It was a really interesting case to follow from a news perspective. There was the kind of trip to the stand for the state witness, Jonathan Dowdall, which kind of jeopardised the case for the state in doing so. And it was just kind of a landmark case because we had a lot of gangland activity in Dublin in the years previous, and Jerry Hutch was suspected of, you know, being at the front of a lot of that. And for him to kind of walk away scot-free was you know, a standout moment, I think, when it comes to looking back on 2023. You'd be delighted to know that May, there's a bit of a lighter story here. A bit of a disappointing one, though. It's the Eurovision. And Wild Youth failing to advance from their semi-final. So are you hopeful at all of our Eurovision hopes going forward after this year?
I would like to think so. I don't really know what more we need to do. We kind of, at this point, have tried everything. And it is kind of one of those ones where you're just like, what else can you do? I remember talking to a music expert at the time, and they were saying that you need to be very much on the likes of TikTok. That's where you need to be able to get the audience enough to be able to win it. So I don't know if now it's kind of moved on from not only having to put together a show for the extra Eurovision, but also everything else outside of that as well. It feels like there's a lot more that has to go into it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think, look, if anything, our expectations are quite low now, and we haven't qualified for a semi-final since 2018. You know, we've such good Irish talent. I know you highlight that quite a lot on Selected Irish. So, you know, hopefully we can tap into that and, you know, have better years to come. June, Louise, is where the RTÉ payment scandal started. And I know this story was kind of heightened for us working in the media anyway, because we could kind of see ourselves in the similar positions to those and our colleagues. But, of course, it started off with the kind of declaration of unreported excess payments or claims of excess payments to Ryan Tuberty. It forced Director General Dee Forbes to step down. Kevin Backhurst kind of took the reins from there. The months that followed was a lot of Oireachtas committees and questioning from TDs and senators, and I think that was pretty well documented over the summer, but definitely a lot of anger when it came to the reaction to that story, and I think that's reflected in the TV licence payments that are down. I think about a quarter of households by the end of the year won't have paid it. So, you'll probably remember that.
I very much vividly do. Yeah, because even coming into work, like even we were discussing it quite a bit, because none of us really knew what was happening. So it was kind of like we were like everybody else, kind of getting it day by day and trying to figure out what kind of what happened.
Yeah. And I think there's still a lot of kind of cracks to be sealed and, you know, a lot of change going on in the organisation, but definitely one of the standout news stories of the year. July then was relatively quiet, but I think policing in the city came to the fore in July, and that was kind of based around the serious assault of US tourist Stephen Termini. That was on Talbot Street in July, and I think that kind of brought a lot of questions to the Justice Minister and about policing and having more Gardaí on patrol. There was a GoFundMe set up for Stephen Termini by his sons, and there was a whole fallout from that where they claimed it was to cover his hospital expenses and wasn't necessarily for him, and then he set up his own GoFundMe, and you know, there was a whole fallout from that. But you know, if anything, obviously the assault was desperate to hear that it had happened or whatever, but you know, I think it brought to the fore anyway policing in Dublin and, you know, an extra kind of push to try and make the streets that little bit safer.
Absolutely. And I suppose giving the Gardaí as well the manpower on the ground that they need too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that will come to the fore later in the year, which will be very prominent in people's minds. But August followed that, Louise, and we had the kind of light-hearted story of the Bank of Ireland ATM glitch.
Oh, yeah.
And for people that don't recall this, it was basically a glitch where people were able to take up, I think, upwards of close to €1,000 from their ATMs, even if they didn't have the money in their account. And now, unfortunately, Bank of Ireland did initiate proceedings with those customers in trying to recoup the money and deduct it from their accounts and work individually with each customer. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a case of too good to be true, I think, when it came to that. And I kind of have to give a shout as well to the dominance of Dublin GAA. To me, the man, I don't like to admit it, but winning All-Ireland for the men's and the ladies' teams were quite an achievement. And I think after, you know, a couple of years there where we didn't see All-Ireland up from either team, it was definitely a landmark month for Dublin GAA.
Yeah, and as you said at the start as well, we've had a great year for sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And that will come to the fore in October. But September was kind of one of those incidents where we'll probably look back on it. It probably flew a little bit under the radar at the time in terms of, especially if you look back on the year and all the huge events that happened. But we had our largest drug seizure in the history of the state in September. The MV Matthew, the cargo ship, which was intercepted off the coast of Cork. €157 million worth of drugs. And obviously involved a kind of cross operation between the Navy, Gardaí, the Defence Forces, an Army Ranger Wing involved in that. So it was just kind of bizarre seeing the press conference afterwards and the huge operation that went into it and the danger of intercepting this cargo ship and afterwards a trawler as well. So that's definitely something we remember. And you touched on it, Irish sport, great mm-hmm. year, but probably our greatest disappointment in October was the Irish rugby team losing to New Zealand in the Rugby World Cup in the quarterfinals. I think there was a lot of hope for this rugby team. We'd obviously won the Six Nations and we were the number one ranked team in the world, and to go out against New Zealand in such a hard-fought game, you know, in the dying seconds was absolutely heartbreaking.
Like they gave it everything. They gave it everything. So, you know, you can't fault them. But yeah, it was disappointing for everybody.
Very disappointing. And look, it's a pity to have that as a kind of standout moment. But for me, anyway, it was the first time in probably my adult life where I was very disappointed or even heartbroken, could I say. And I looked at my kind of fitness watch and my heart rate was almost as high as I was doing some exercise.
Oh, no.
So I feel like a lot of people might share that sentiment.
I'd imagine so. Yeah, I'd imagine so. A lot of shouting at the TV, I think, at that point.
Yes, definitely. November, December, wrapping up then. November was a really, really busy month when it came to news stories. We obviously had the devastating case of Aisling Murphy and Joseph Pushka found guilty of the murder of Aisling Murphy in Tullamore in January of 2021. And I think that obviously in the weeks following led to a lot of anger around an event which happened in Dublin, which was on Parnell Square East, where, of course, a creche worker and children from the creche were attacked by a bystander in Dublin city centre. And then the hours in the aftermath obviously sparked riots in Dublin city centre. And I definitely, from a news point of view, I'll always remember those couple of days covering the story, seeing the, you know, the stabbing break and how heartbreaking that story was in itself. And then just to see the city kind of unfold into chaos and the aftermath of that was devastating and a real black mark, I think, on the month as a whole.
Yeah, and you popped into town the morning after that, didn't you?
I did, and it probably wasn't the wisest idea to be roaming around town the night after riots because there was still some looters going about and this and that. And look, you know, again, this is another event, monumental event in kind of our history where it really has led us to try and make improvements in terms of our policing. The Garda Representative Association has talked about more training being needed. There's obviously more equipment and more kind of resources being given to the Gardaí in future. And look, I think we would all kind of be unanimous in hoping that a similar event obviously never happens again. And then just to conclude, December, again, I wish it was a bit more lighthearted, but the passing, sad passing of Shane McGowan.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good kind of recap on the year in terms of to celebrate his life, his career, his music, and to look back on the other people we lost in the music world, Sinead O'Connor and Christy Dignam in particular. over the course of the year. Extremely sad, but, you know, Christmas, the end of the year, is a time for reflection and, you know, if anything, we'll remember those lives fondly and all that they've left us.
Yeah, all the creative, and as we were talking earlier, the Irish music scene, and, you know, they're just part of that, and they kind of, I suppose, trailblazed the way for a lot of other artists that are kind of coming up after them as well.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. So I hope I recapped the year fairly well there. It was there was a lot to cover and some stuff I had to leave out, but, you know, it was a really, really busy year. And look, 2024, no doubt, news happens all the time, whether it's a bit quieter or less, gains less traction. It still happens. There's still, you know, newsworthy events, and there's no doubt it'll be just as busy next year.
Yeah, absolutely. There'll be a lot more to talk about in a week's time when it's 2024. I've no idea how that happened.
That's scary.
It is a little bit, isn't it? I don't know where this year went to, but sure, look, as you went through it all there, that a lot happened over the year, and no doubt we'll have lots more that will happen in 2024 as well. Jonathan Byrne from News, thank you very much for chatting.